Hello, and welcome to another episode of Techsplaining. This is Rob Foster, and today I am here with only Mark Rackley. So, Mark, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. I'm sorry that you're stuck with just me. I don't know. I think the class of the podcast just went down several levels.
So. Well, there's a whole lot of Southern on here, so then maybe that's a good thing.
There is. My accent might have to come up out a little bit more, too, so we'll work on that.
Yeah, man. So, dude, I know we've got... a little over a month now-ish, month and a half, I guess, from Ignite. How are you doing on your sessions? Are you writing? Have you started writing them, or are you going to wait till, you know, last minute kind of stuff?
I don't know if you've met me or not. I haven't.
This is a loaded question. I know the answer to this question.
Yeah, so thanks for putting me on the spot. Luckily, this show probably won't be published till after Ignite, so they won't know about it.
They can read about it in the show notes.
Right. I've got a session that I'm working on. Have we talked about our sessions on the show before?
I don't think we have, actually. I don't think we have.
So I got one of the sessions I got submitted. It's one that I really want to, I've been putting thought into, but I don't have it all nailed down. It's a session that it was purely idea when I submitted it, and I knew by the title they were going to accept it. It's like one of those sessions you say, oh yeah, that's a great title. I would go to that session. But the name of the session is stop doing these four things in SharePoint and start doing them in Azure. Mm. So I'm really trying to come up with I've got some ideas. I don't want to put any spoilers in the podcast, but I'm really trying to come up with a really good, compelling story to really make that a great session. Because I think it has the potential to be a fantastic session. It's only 20 minutes. It's a 20-minute theater session, so it's going to be nothing but demos. And it won't be too technical, so it should be for anybody. I think it'll be a great session if I can just, you know, get it just perfect.
I have some ideas. Maybe I can help you contribute.
Hey, that would be fantastic. Maybe I'll call you up on stage. You can be one of my, help me with some demos or something.
I don't know, man. Never mind. Yes, I will be happy to join you. But that's cool. I'm really looking forward to this year. Just going down and seeing the show, mostly spending time with people that I haven't seen in a while. You know, I think that's going to be tremendously valuable. We have a lot of product team members through my company, product team meetings through my company that are starting to align now. And so I'm really looking forward to that. More than I am the sessions, I think the sessions are going to be great. And there's definitely going to be some amazing announcements that we are all privy to through the MVP program. I just think that if you're there, it's going to be an amazing time to see the next evolution of some of this stuff. It's really it's cool stuff.
I agree. And as we tell everybody every year on this podcast is it's, you know, going for the networking and the meetings and meeting with Microsoft is just as valuable, if not more so, than the session, since a lot of them are recorded and you can go back and watch them later. So
yeah. And the thing about it is, we all go to Redmond fairly, I would say more than your average bear.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's kind of like, I think of Ignite as being almost better than going to Redmond to visit the product team there, because so many of those folks are geographically distributed, right? And they're rarely in the same office or in the same area. And I think a lot of those, whether they're in Texas or, you know, they're in the UK or they're in Redmond or wherever, they're in the Silicon Valley, they all come to Ignite. And that's really kind of a major meetup place to meet all of the talent and all the people that are actually building the stuff that we use every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, since Satya's come on board, they're more and more open to our opinion and our feedback, and they'll actually listen, or at least they do a much better job acting like they listen. But I think they actually listen when we talk.
I think they do. We went through a lull period of, you know, when I first became an MVP in 2006 or 7 or whenever it was, it's been a long time, the MVP's opinions mattered, right? We were able to go to the product group and say, hey, you know, this is what we think, and this is where we think you need to take it, and here's our experience and all that. And then it went on a few years, and then it kind of dropped. It kind of dipped. It was more just, hey, we're going to present you this topic. We really don't care what you think. We're moving this direction, and that's it. And then now, over the last probably, I don't know, would you say 6 or 7 years? I think it's gone back to that mentality of, we're going to accept your feedback, and we're going to listen, and we're going to really help you know what you're saying. And you don't have to be an MVP at this point. I think that's right. The key difference is that you can be just somebody that, you know, if you submit something on User Voice or something and it's very popular, it's going to get implemented. And I think that's the key thing is that, I mean, there's still value, a lot of value being an MVP, but you can just be a regular non-MVP, just somebody out there in the world that needs something done or needs has got a great idea, and your idea can get implemented in the product.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah, and I think it's been about 5 years because I think it was actually my first MVP summit when afterwards people were like, oh, no, that was totally different. I think so about 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so hats off to Satya. I can't wait to see him. I hope I get to meet him this time.
The bodyguards might, like, you know, drop kick you or something.
His handlers are mean, Jack. They're mean. Yeah, man. So I've been focusing on a lot of Yammer stuff, and I know we talk a lot about teams on the show and stuff, and we haven't really talked much about Yammer and kind of our use case for it. It's Yammer is very closely related to teams. It's more of a broader reaching audience kind of thing. If you need very large groups or very large communities that are of people of practice or whatever, communities of practice or groups or whatever you have in your firm, you can do that on a very large scale inside of Yammer. And we're doing that a lot. And over the past several, so it's been over a month now, I've been doing a lot of reporting against Yammer. And I have to say, the reports you can get out of Yammer compared to Teams, phenomenal. I mean, they blow me away. I mean, I wish that Teams had that much analytics inside of it to where you can pull out and extract things. I mean, going down to the message level even, right, to get doing sentiment analysis on each group inside of Yammer, right? So if we go in there and we say, hey, we want to see what are our most healthy groups? What are our most popular groups? And then the people that are contributing in there, are they having a positive experience or a negative experience? And so being able to do stuff like that is just, I would say, next level, because I'm kind of used to coming from the Teams world. I mean, I've been using Yammer for a long time, but have just started diving into the reporting aspect of it. It's unbelievable. I wish we had that for Teams and the other social type applications that we have.
Interesting. I mean, we work with a lot of customers. I mean, a lot. I think every year we work with potentially over 100 separate companies. And I would say that currently we might have two or three clients that are using Yammer or are even curious about Yammer for the most part. And I think there's still, a lot of confusion, a lot of people curious, like why use Yammer when I've got Teams, I've got the great mobile experience. Why would any organization choose to use Yammer over Teams? And the only one that I can think of is because of the limit of a team of 5,000 people.
I think that's one. One of the things that we're doing is Teams is largely being used as a, and this is just us, right? This is, I'm one case of 10 million people that are out there. Right. But we're using Teams more for like an internal team collaboration thing. Hey, and it could be internal, external people, but it's more just team collaboration. And to get specific on what I mean by this, I'm really meaning like private team collaboration. So you've got a team, a team in Microsoft Teams. By default, we're actually going in behind the scenes and marking all of our teams that get created as private teams. Because when you create a team, you can create it as a public team or a private team. The verbiage on creating teams as public or private is just, in my opinion, it's horrible. It's not clear to the user of, I mean, it essentially says, would you like to create a team where you can share stuff with people? Create a public team. If you don't want to share stuff with people, create a private team. So what we found is that a lot of people, when they were creating teams, were creating them as public teams, which is fine, except if you're working on things like client deliverables that maybe, shouldn't be shared by the broader audience of everybody in the firm in Office 365. Because once you make a team public, one of the things that we notice that happens behind the scenes is that any document you store in that team is available to everybody through search. So you can see things and you can find things that maybe you shouldn't have access to do. So
Interesting.
What we did, so what we did, what we ended up doing was we ended up marking all of our teams by default as privates. When a new team gets created, we catch that event and then we mark it as private. And then we send an email to the user saying, if you really meant to make a public team, maybe you should be using Yammer where you can actually do that. And here's why you would do that. There are cases for using public teams or for having a public team. By all means, and we do have a whitelist for that, but it requires special approval because for the most part, I would say 999 times out of 1,000, people are like, oh yeah, I really kind of, this does need to be private. I don't want it to be public, you know? So that's really kind of what we're doing there is to using Teams as kind of that private, protected, I would say, kind of protected collaboration environment to do what you can do in Teams. And then if you need to make a public team, a public area where you need to cast a very broad net across the organization, then that we would prefer you use Yammer for that.
I think that's a great governance model. I mean, that's if that works for you guys, that's a very clean cut rules. And I think that's what a lot of people need is just something that they can comprehend and go to and follow. So no, if that's working for you guys, that's actually not a bad idea at all.
It is. It is. And it doesn't really matter for the size, right? Because I mean, we have very large teams. We have very large, and 5,000 people in a team is a huge. It's the max, and that's the maximum number they have.
Right.
In Yammer, I think it's off the charts. I mean, it's tens of thousands that you can have in there. I don't think there's an upper limit in Yammer. But beyond the size aspect, we haven't really ran into a team needing more than 5,000 people in it. Of those, we do have communities of practice in Yammer to where maybe it's like everybody in Canada or maybe everybody in New York, right? We need a place for people in New York City. We've got maybe, I don't know, 8,000 people working in New York to collaborate. So we would automatically do that in Yammer because of the size and then the broad reaching aspect of that. I mean, you're not going to collaborate in reality. You're not going to collaborate the way you need to collaborate in Teams with 5,000 people. You're not going to do it.
Right. it's true. So as I think through this, because this is a fantastic conversation, by the way, for me personally, because I like to know these stories because clients need to hear this stuff. But so I start thinking about ways of dissecting that. One of the benefits of Teams is that you can apply those policies to where, you know, after the project's over, the team gets, deleted, gets removed,
archived or something,
deprovisioned, yeah. Archived, or whatever you want to do. But you really don't have that same capability with Yammer groups, do you? So how do you handle, or maybe you do, and I'm just unaware of it, but how do you handle those Yammer groups then that are temporary?
Well, so we have a yet another job running behind the scenes that that does a group and team a group and message deletion, right? So we have Yammer messages can only live, I believe, for 12 weeks or 12 months, and then Yammer groups can live for 18 months after creation, assuming there's no activity, right? So we have a job that goes out there. No matter what, your messages are getting deleted after 12 months.
Okay.
And then if we go out and we're checking the groups as well, if there's no messages in there and there haven't been any messages posted in 18 months, chances are likely that's an inactive group. Right. Okay. So we've got a job that runs that kind of clears this out. And then if you find a group that's older than 18 months old and it has no messages in it, it's inactive. So we remove it from there.
So do you delete the messages after 12 months? Is that more for like legal purposes? So you're not responsible for the content? Okay.
Yeah, content. Well, it's messages and files, right? Okay. So it's both of those. But mostly just to also clean up Yammer. The Yammer messages we're finding don't have much of more than a 30-day lifespan. So what we're seeing is that after 30 days, that message is gone. I mean, it's way on up the chain, and people are. We rarely see people even like liking a message after 30 days or commenting, recommenting, or all that.
Okay.
So after 12 months, I mean, it's way gone, right? So it's 11 months basically past due.
So what do you do then on the team side? Because you don't have that same capability to delete messages that are 12 months old, do you?
We don't. So teams right now, because they're I don't want to say there's limitations in that, but it's it's more difficult to tap into that type of level with teams. You know, what we're doing is we're looking at group expiration policies or group, you know, the policies you can apply to groups to where they'll auto archive for that, but more at the group level rather than at the message level.
Okay. So that means if you have a Microsoft team that's going to live for several years, you don't have the ability to get rid of all those old messages after a year. So they're still going to pop up in new discovery. So for you guys, that's a reason to maybe create a Yammer group, even for something that's not necessarily public facing.
Yeah. Well, and you can set up policies for chats. So it works for one-to-one chats, but not specific messages. So that's kind of there's they're getting there. I haven't seen that on the roadmap or heard of that coming. And I could be wrong about that, but we really need to get down to being able to put policies on the message level.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a concern for a lot of our clients too, is, you know, once that stuff's out there, it's out there for discovery and they're really concerned about that. And it's we're at the maturity level of now of Office 365 and all these tools where that is what people are concerned about is that security and compliance and e-discovery and that stuff. I'm really starting to see an uptick in an interest and concern there. So it's the sign of our maturity, I guess.
It is. And it's not easy to get to, right? Because, I mean, you can pull things out of the audit log or you can pull things, you know, about the group and all that. And you can pull usage reports or whatever. But all of that stuff, with the exception of the unified audit log, all of that stuff only goes surface level deep, right? It only tells you more about, hey, you've got a group and that group has 35 messages posted in it and people have loaded 7 files and all that, but you don't really get to dig into the message, right? Unless you get it hit the e-discovery tools and all of that, right? Which is still discoverable, but you can't really write processes around it. You can't write a job that goes out there and checks this stuff or whatever. It's really kind of isolated. It's not really, there's nothing really exposed through the graph, right, that helps you dig into this stuff and really put processes around it. And that's fine because I know it'll evolve, but we need it yesterday.
Right. Like everything else.
Yeah. But yeah, no, and as you get into Yammer, and I've been using Yammer for probably 12 or 13 years now. I mean, I think we started using it like in 2008, 2007 timeframe, way before it was acquired by Microsoft. They've got a really neat little model. I mean, their web services work well. They've got really deep analytics into the groups. We're pulling out all the messages that they've got a great export tool that's all available through an API. So basically what I'm doing is I do it every day, but every day I go out and I export all the messages for the last 30 days. And then I essentially download those and process those to where we're putting things like, okay, I know that Mark posted this message, but also where is Mark in my organization? Is he in the US? Is he in the UK? You know, and then what level, HR level is Mark? Is he a manager? You know, is he a partner? All this kind of stuff. And then we're starting to put this so that not only we can see who's posting, but also doing some deep analytics through Power BI with, you know, how many messages are being posted, where are they coming from? What are our most active users? What are our most influential users? What groups are most active? Where do those groups live? Where are people posting from? I mean, all this stuff. Once you get that level of detail, you just throw it in Power BI and you can build some amazing reports really fast.
Interesting. So for our listeners who maybe don't know much about Yammer or they know more about Teams than Yammer, you know, one of the things about Teams is when you create a team, it creates so much stuff behind the scenes. What about when you create a Yammer group? What all gets provisioned when you create a Yammer group?
So it depends. It depends on if you are in full Office. I don't know what the mode is called, but it's basically Office 365 mode. If you're in full compatibility mode with Office 365, meaning you have one Yammer network, and that Yammer network is connected to your tenant, when you create a Yammer group, there's also an Office 365 group that gets created. Now, behind the scenes, what that's going to do is create a connected SharePoint site. It's also going to create a planner plan and I believe a notebook behind the scenes with that. So it's basically just like you would create a group through anywhere else. I mean, even in Teams, but it's going to be just connected to the Yammer, to that Yammer entity inside of Yammer. But it's going to have all of the stuff that's normally associated with an Office 365 group.
Okay. So it's basically now, the same thing as Teams, except the conversation piece, you're getting Yammer instead of Teams.
That's right. That's right. So in that regard, there's absolutely no difference. Now, what we've been asked to do as well, and I'm really shocked that this isn't really a thing, and maybe it should be a thing, is that it's hard to once you create a Yammer group, it's just like creating a team, right? You have to invite people in. So if I go in and I have, you know, two people I have to invite into my group, I have to physically go in there and invite them. Well, what if I have 6,000 people, you know, or whatever? I have to physically go in there and invite them. Well, enter a new process. what we've had to do there is, and if this works for any unified group, which could be a, you know, a Yammer group, it could be a team, it could be a SharePoint, you know, modern site, anything that's got a modern group with it. What I've done is I've taken a process that allows me to sync either an Active Directory security group or a distribution list, right, with that modern group, because many of our collective teams as a whole are managed, you know, I say worker teams, not like Teams or Yammer. Think about right. just people working together on a team, are managed through distribution lists. And they do that for email, right? So that you can email everybody on your team. I'm going to email blah, blah, blah. Boom, here's my DL. Well, the need has arisen to say, I want to take this same DL that I'm emailing people to, and I want to sync that with Yammer, or I want to sync that with Teams. So had to write a new process to actually manage that, to where what it does is it takes all the people in the DL and it basically just moves them over to Yammer. If they're in Yammer already or in, you know, in the group, in the modern group, it doesn't add them. If they're not in there, it adds them. And what happens is that it goes back and does another check to say, okay, anybody that's also in this Yammer group, if we're talking about syncing Yammer, that's not in the DL, it'll remove them. So it does a full sync of the DL into Yammer, and that's saved us tremendous amounts of time. It's been a hugely popular feature to do that. And I don't know if that's something you guys encounter out there in the SMB market or not, but I mean, it's one of the things that, I mean, I'll probably add 10 distribution lists a week to sync to Yammer. Every week.
Great. Well, I mean, like I said, none of our clients are using, they are using Yammer as intensely as they are Teams, or maybe the more to the point is that Yammer's to a point now where they have it, they use it, but this Teams thing, we want to know about this Teams thing. We want to invest our time in this Teams thing because we keep hearing Teams. And yeah, that's probably Teams, more to the point.
Well, in Teams, I think Teams is very, I'm not saying Teams is bad or Teams, you shouldn't use Teams, you should use Yammer. Teams is tremendously valuable, right? And it's kind of the future of where they're going with this whole collaboration piece. I mean, I think there's Yammer's always going to be there. Teams is always going to be there. For us, it's a different use case.
No, I think it's a great use case. And this is, this has been great hearing how you guys are using it, and you've made some good valid reasons to use it. The being able to delete older messages, the fact that the you can make, you know, all your public groups so that the files that you're storing in your public SharePoint sites aren't there for search. I mean, because that's going to confuse a ton of people if they go and search and see all these, you know, files from the Teams public sites. I really hadn't given it that much thought because the fact that Teams does, you know, most of what we need to do, and especially if you have less than 5,000 people. But it sounds like there's some solid reasons to look at Yammer regardless. And, you know, I was just on one of our MVP calls today, and they, you know, there's some big announcements coming for Yammer this year at Ignite. So we can't talk about what those are, but we can encourage people to like really stay tuned and look for things that are coming for Yammer. So Microsoft is investing in Yammer. It's not going anywhere. You know, people keep talking about, well, Teams is going to kill Yammer, but it's not at this point.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I mean, probably this time last year, I might not have made that same argument that it's not going anywhere. But I think, knowing what I know about where they're taking it and the announcements that are coming at Ignite, seriously, folks, if you're listening to this, I mean, stay tuned to this topic, because there's going to be some phenomenal announcements coming out. I mean, it really is It's going to change the way, I think it's going to make Yammer, back to a tier one kind of spotlighted platform right now. Because I think it's somewhat, with Teams coming out, with the advent of Teams, it's kind of fell out of the spotlight because there's not really been that much evolution with Yammer over the past probably 8 years. Right. And they're, what they're going to announce at Ignite is truly an evolution to this platform. And it's going to be just so amazing to see. And I can't wait. Honestly, I can't wait to see my people start using that the things that are coming.
I would go as far as to say that with the changes coming for Yammer, we may actually start using it.
Wow, that's shocking.
I know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be compelling again, because before Teams, Yammer was your only option. And it hadn't, at that point, hadn't evolved in, since probably 2012 or so. I mean, it's largely the same platform as it has been in 2012. And it hasn't really evolved that much. They've added the Office 365 groups, right? So they've made it to where it's no longer a standalone platform. It is kind of integrated with Office 365. But the next version, once they've released that, is going to just be, I mean, it's truly an evolution of a platform. It is not a version, like major version release. It is an evolution release.
Well, if they can make the whole experience seamless, more seamless, I think that's going to be key to adoption, because it is just such a separate piece from everything else you do. They've done a good job making it easy to work within Teams, and you're working in SharePoint, but you're in Teams and you can get to your calendar and your meetings and basically sit in that Teams interface all day. It's a disjointed experience. So I could see some things, but I don't know. Like I said, this has been an interesting conversation. I hadn't thought about some of these use cases.
Yeah. And for those listening, I was like, well, let's talk about Yammer. I'm doing some cool stuff with that. And this is one of those conversations. We just hit record and see what happens. this is not planned. We're just kind of rambling on about stuff, but these tend to be the best conversations, I think, because we get to hash out an idea and, learn how each other is using it. Cause we work in, similar capacities, but completely different areas of the world, right? And as far as like what people are doing, what we're delivering for people. And I think having these differing viewpoints is so important to have.
Absolutely. Yeah. And cause we're working under budgets and timelines for multiple companies. And so we've got to keep things as succinct as possible, where I think one of the things you may get, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but one of the things you get at where you work is that you can spend more time really kind of exploring the possibilities and the capabilities and come up with some cool things that maybe we might not have thought of otherwise. And so we get to like steal your ideas.
Yeah, totally. I wouldn't say I have a lot of time to spend on that, but but yeah, we do get to play with it. I think you're right. That I believe adoption is going to increase through this, but one thing that I've found that they're going to have to nail, no matter what they do with Yammer or even Teams moving forward, is they're going to have to nail the communications and really the idea for what these things are and when they need to be used, because there's just tremendous confusion in this area right now.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, nobody knows. If you say, when should you use Teams versus Yammer? I would say the majority of people would say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. I mean, I think that's they've done a really, that they could do a better job in communicating the capabilities and kind of when to use one and when to not, one or the other. Because I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I think there's optimal use cases for each platform.
I totally agree. And if I had a nickel for every time I saw a session title of what to use when, I would be like, I would have a new boat if I actually, because I mean, there's so many people talking about it, but there's really, like you said, there's no right and wrong answer. It really depends. And like I said, I really think you have some compelling reasons for using Yammer the way you guys are using it. It's really, really, I mean, really, I know I've said it enough, but this is.
And don't get me wrong. I didn't just dream this up. I mean, the way.
Oh, we come came on. To sure you did.
Well, the way we came to this conclusion was we made a mistake, right? We didn't make a mistake. People were making mistakes by creating public teams, and there were data being put out into our search engine that was being exposed that shouldn't have. So we had to actually react really quick and come up with a solution for that. So the way we came to this conclusion was really by way of just we found a really bad, really bad problem that we had to solve real quick. And that was kind of how we came to that solution. And I think, you know, I guess a lot of people come to them that way. When you encounter something, you have to react. But that really drove us to our decision. Had that not happened, I don't think we would have been sitting on the same North Star that we have for using the two platforms differently.
Well, and I think a lot of organizations, when they run into this type of problem, say, well, this is just where we're going to use Slack instead. And they don't stop to think about, wait a second, out of all these other tools we're already paying for, is there something here that would work for us? And, you know, and you guys did do that.
Well, and not to mention Slack itself, if you buy the version that you're going to need to do things, the enterprise version costs more than the entirety of the license for Office 365.
You're kidding me.
Per user per month cost more than the entire, you know, Exchange, SharePoint, all of it. So you got to think about that too. So, I mean, if you do make a change and say, you know what, I don't think either of these tools will do me right, I'm going to use Slack. There is that, because, you know, you're not going to use the freemium version of Slack if you're running a real business. I mean, you could, but you're going to have the potential for data exposure that you might not need.
Right.
The idea is Slack wants to sell you a license. You need to buy that license. Chances are likely to buy that license to meet the needs of all the security and regulations and, you know, could be data residency or whatever. You're going to have to buy the enterprise license of that, which does cost more than O365.
That's crazy.
It's shocking.
So we really got to come up with a product we can sell. We're in the wrong market.
I mean, seriously.
Wow. And people are buying it, which is the crazy thing. They're spending all this money on enterprise Slack when they could get everything that comes in Office 365 for cheaper. That just blows my mind.
I mean, people are buying Arkansas season tickets too. So,
that's harsh. I looked at buying season tickets this year just because they're so cheap, because nobody wants to go to an Arkansas game, but I'm traveling like every weekend that the games are happening. So I'm like, yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah. How's your son liking it? Has he been to a game and stuff?
No, in fact, no, he actually, the parking situation at that university has gone downhill tremendously since I went to college there. He has to park his car 2 miles away from his dorm. So
what?
Yes, that's the closest parking spot. He basically, when he drives home, he drives his car and then takes an Uber to get back to his dorm after he parks his car.
Oh my goodness.
It's crazy. And on game day weekends, all the students have to move their cars because that's where the people going to the game park. So they have to move their cars.
So did they basically do what they did at my university is they had a bunch of parking lots and then they built more buildings over top of those parking lots and didn't replace them?
Well, they built a lot of buildings and they built some parking garages too, but they have not built enough parking to take into account everything for the students. So it's like there's like a huge waiting list to get a parking space closer to the dorm. It's cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get that type of parking space.
That's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous.
Wow, that's fee grabbing in its prime form right there.
Oh, don't get me started on what's changed since I went to college. We could do a whole podcast on the things that have changed with college. It is no longer about getting an education. It's about getting an experience. And you know you cannot buy used textbooks anymore. Everything is digital now, and they sell you a code for an online book, and that code expires after a year. And are the books any cheaper? No, not at all. So we're paying the same price as a brand new book for a code for an online book that expires.
That's crazy sauce.
That is insane.
Well, save some trees, right?
You got me started. No.
Folks, y'all know how I love to get Mark going.
It's easy to do sometimes.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I don't have anything else really to contribute on this topic. I mean, I think, I guess in closing, Explore Yammer. Watch this space. If you're not looking at it now, I guarantee you'll be looking at this space after Ignite, because there's going to be major things coming, get up to speed on it soon, because I think if you're a consultant, as an example, I think your customers are going to start asking you about this very, very soon.
And if they're not, you need to be educated to talk to them about it, because there are some compelling use cases for using Yammer. So don't throw it away just yet.
Awesome. All right. Well, I guess if anybody has any questions or comments, please shoot us an email at info@techsplaining.net. And other than that, Mark, thank you so much for your time today, my friend. It's been wonderful as always.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. We should do this more often.
I know it. All right, folks, until next time. Thank you.
Later.